Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 16, Chapter 13. Text 15, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thanks for me. Sarva Vedanta Saram Saram Hi. Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. Tadrasamrita Triptasya. Nanyatra Shadriti. Sarva Vedanta. Of all the Vedanta philosophy, Saram, the essence, He, indeed, Sri Bhagavatam, Sri Bhagavatam, Ishyate, is said to be. Tat, of it, Rasamrita, by the nectarian taste. Triptasya, for one who is satisfied. Not. Anyatra, elsewhere. Vyat, there is. Rati, attraction. Kvachit, ever. Translation. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. A translation responsively. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy.
One who has felt satisfaction
from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to another literature. Om Agyana Timiranda Shyaganandana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasma Sri Gurve Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimati Vrindavananda Goswami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharinim Evisheshi Shunivali Pashvachari Shatarinim Shri Krishna Jaitana Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasvati Gaurav Bhaktabinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there's no purport to this verse. Translation again is, Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellows will never be attracted to another literature. There's no purport, so the next couple of verses I'll just read the translation. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta the supreme amongst the deities, and Lord Sambhu Shiva the greatest of the Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Text 17. O Brahmana, in the same way that city of Kashi is unexcelled among holy places, Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme amongst all the Puranas. And text 18. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is completely free of contamination by the modes of nature, it is endowed with extraordinary spiritual beauty and is therefore dear to the pure devotees of the Lord. The word Paramahamsayam indicates that even completely liberated souls are eager to hear and narrate Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are trying to be liberated should faithfully serve this literature by hearing and reciting it with faith and devotion. So I think we all agree, like the verse says today, once you've read Srimad Bhagavatam, there's really no other literature that suffices. You know, no matter how attractive Harry Potter may be, or any of the other dramas and novels that are out there, Srimad Bhagavatam is completely captivating. And we can always go back to the Srimad Bhagavatam and find ever fresh nuances and mellows, as it's pointed out here, nectarian mellows. Mellows is a really interesting word when you analyse it. A mellow. We don't use it in the English language so much. A mellow is a subtle enjoyment, a really deep enjoyment. And that's what we get when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's so satisfying, it's so complete. So it was interesting, as you probably have throughout the classes that have been given on this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's obviously been emphasized that you have the book Bhagavatam and you have the person Bhagavatam. So that personality, Bhagavatam to us, is Srila Prabhupada, and we as his representatives try to also encourage people with this Vedic knowledge, this Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, to anybody that we meet. And it was interesting when I was just studying for this verse yesterday, when I was doing my chaplaincy work at the Alfred Hospital, there was a lady who is a Hindu lady, and I'm responsible for doing the chaplaincy work for all the different Hindu ladies or Hindu patients in the Alfred Hospital, which, by the way, is a wonderful service. It's something that all devotees, if they get an opportunity to do this type of preaching, it's really puts you on your top gear to be able to present the philosophy, to be able to present the Bhagavatam, the essence of the Bhagavatam, love for Krishna. So when I was about to see this lady who was going through some difficulties and having to go to operations and all that kind of thing, I thought, what am I going to talk to this lady about? You know, it's like this is someone you've never met before who's in a diabolical state, she's in a very fragile state. What am I going to talk about? And so I thought, okay, I really, you know, I mean, I know I have to speak something from this wonderful Purana, you know, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but what shall I talk about? You know, I can talk about Krishna, and, you know, but is that the right thing to do at that time? So I just thought, okay, I'll just open up the Bhagavad Gita anywhere and see what Prabhupada is directing me, Krishna is directing me to speak. So I open it up at the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 632. And it said here that he or she is the perfect yogi who by comparison to his own self sees true equality in all beings, both in happiness and distress. Now the purport was really interesting. One who is Krishna conscious is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all activities for the human being. Prabhupada further goes on to describe, Krishna is the proprietor of all lands and planets. The perfect yogi is the sincere friend of all living entities. He knows that the living being who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. Because one, in Krishna consciousness, is happy, he tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. So this was the key. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world, and he is the dearest servant of the Lord. So that was the point that really hit home with me, that such a great personality as Srila Prabhupada, he did the greatest philanthropic work that could ever be done for humanity, in that he gave this Bhagavatam to the world, clearly enunciated the essence of the Bhagavatam. And he was happy in himself and he wanted to distribute. So we just have to go out and just present it to everyone, to whoever we meet with. And this Bhagavatam is, over the years, it just becomes more and more, as a devotee, the Bhagavatam becomes more and more important to your spiritual well-being. It is such an important part of our lives. In this chapter, the Bhagavatam is the supreme body of knowledge. It is the epitome of all knowledge. And, you know, again, in interfaith work, there are so many times I have to come in contact with so many different scriptures. They're all wonderful. They all teach a good message. There's a message of divinity in all the different scriptures. The Quran, the Torah, the Buddha, the Bible. So many different things. But at best, the directions for mankind are very foggy for an individual to follow. Whereas the Bhagavatam is really clear and concise and direct. And so it's these scriptures, and when you talk to different people, these scriptures are sometimes very hard to understand. And they have a foggy idea, a mixed idea of who is God and what our relationship is with God. Whereas the teachings in the Bhagavatam are clear and concise in every way. So sometimes even these scriptures have been tampered with, and so the real message that was supposed to come through the teachings of a particular prophet or a particular son of God has been twisted and turned, and so people have no real idea of what the crux of the teaching is. So yesterday I had an opportunity to speak to a minister of religion who was my superior in the Alfred Hospital, and she was asking about this Vedic culture, about Krishna consciousness, the Vedas, Hinduism, so to speak. And she wanted to know, well, you know, what is Hinduism, what is Vedic culture? And I was telling her that, and she was asking, do you pray to God? Is there one God? Do you believe in many gods? She really had no idea. So for about a half an hour, I was able to teach her about Bhagavatam, the essence of the Bhagavatam, that we as Krishna conscious devotees see that there is one personality of Godhead. And we went on like this for some time, and she was really fascinated. And then I started asking her questions. I said, so you also pray to God? And I said, but how do you see God? You know, you're praying to God. She said, yeah, I prefer to pray to God than to Jesus even. As a Christian minister, she felt more comfortable praying to God than to Jesus. And then I said, okay, that's really nice. Yeah, we pray to God also. How do you see God in your mind's eye? Who do you pray to? And she was blank, and she sort of thought, well, I'm not quite sure. And I said, well, how do you perceive God? Do you see God as a personal form? No, I see God in nature and he's everywhere and he's omnipresent. I said, yes, that's fine. That's nice. That is an aspect of God. But when you pray to God, when you talk to God, how do you see him? You're a person. I'm a person. If you were to talk to me, you would see me. You would know me. You know us one person to another person. And so we went on like this, and ultimately she said, well, I guess we'd have to pray to Jesus. I said, but no, you were just telling me that you find it more comfortable to pray to God. So do you see God as a person? She said, well, maybe he's more just an energy. And I said, but that's not the relationship that Jesus has with God. He has a very personal, you know, your main prayer is our Father who art in heaven. He doesn't say our empty room or our negative space, hallowed be thy name. He says, my Father. Very personal. In fact, he called him Daddy, Abba. And she said, yeah, I guess you're right. So it just dawned on me what a special gift Prabhupada has given us. You know, that we have a clear and succinct understanding of who Krishna is, to the finest details. You know, the little wisp of hair that's on his chest, the way his lotus eyes are formed. We know about his friends. We know about his relatives. We know everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I said to her, you know, do you envisage some old man sitting with a beard? And she said, no, I can't come at that. So then I said, well, if you have a personal concept of God, and he's a person like you and I, he would have to be the most beautiful person. Is that correct? Yes, he'd have to be the most beautiful. Would you think that he'd be an old man or a very young and vital sort of person? Well, he'd be young. And I said, those descriptions of an ever-youthful God are there in our scriptures of Srimad Bhagavatam. And she said, can you bring me a copy? I thought, wow, this is amazing. So presenting Bhagavatam on behalf of our spiritual master, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. So we never tire of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It's something that we can continuously read over and over again. As it said in this purport here, you know, the devotee, even the advanced devotee, never gets sick and tired of reading Bhagavatam. And there's always new revelations that happen to us when we read Bhagavatam. Even after 30 years, after 40 years, you read a passage of Bhagavatam and you go, how often is it that we're sitting at home and we're reading Bhagavatam, Bhakti and I, and all of a sudden we go, oh, that's what Prabhupada meant by that. Isn't it, Bhakti? It's, the lights go on. And you've read that passage time and time again. Haribol. So, it's just ever fresh. Ever fresh. Ever enjoyable. There's never a time that you feel, oh God, we've got to read the Bhagavatam again. You know? It's never like that. I remember in the early days of Krishna consciousness, when we had the opportunity to sit with our spiritual master or with an advanced devotee and hear Bhagavatam, he didn't want to be anywhere other place in the world. That was it. To hear this nectar, this brilliant philosophy, this great knowledge, was like absolute sweetness going into your ears. And you just didn't want to move. You know, someone would call you out, Prabhu, I need you to... Hang on, I just didn't want to stay. You know, what to think of even doing something other, you know, than listening to this Bhagavatam. How many times have we been absolutely rapt in listening to a Bhagavatam class from either Srila Prabhupada or one of his disciples? When you're driving a car, you know, you put your CD on or your MP3 or whatever and you're listening to a class. Sometimes you're driving, you're hearing the philosophy and you don't even know, how did I get here? Like I'm driving to the temple, you know, you got your iPod on and you got this fabulous class on. There's so much nectar of the Bhagavatam. And you're driving and you think, I can't remember really coming past. You know, you'd be so engrossed that the body has just done the automatic. So it's so captivating, so intoxicating. And even Srila Prabhupada, who did the purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam, was captivated by his own purports. Because he said Krishna was working through him and he'd have the devotees reading the Bhagavatam back to him. And he would be in bliss just hearing the Bhagavatam and the purports that he had written. And he never tired of it. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is endowed with extraordinary spiritual beauty, as is pointed out here. Extraordinary spiritual beauty. It is so transcendental. So beautiful. And it's said that even if one gets an opportunity, what to speak of reading the Bhagavatam, if somebody gets an opportunity to just touch the Bhagavatam, it is so auspicious. It is so wonderful. In fact, the Bhagavatam is an incarnation of Krishna. It's a literal incarnation of Krishna. It can be worshipped. There are temples where they haven't got deities, but they have a Bhagavatam on the altar. And they worship the Bhagavatam. So Krishna has manifested himself in this Bhagavatam. So even if we get a person to just touch the Bhagavatam, that's why it's so important when Satswarup in the early days was doing the, and Hridaya Nanda Maharaj were doing the university programs. And they would place the Bhagavatams in all the different libraries, in the university libraries. And Prabhupada was so pleased with that, to have these Bhagavatams sitting in the places of learning, the universities. So pleased with that. Because even if a student just brushes past and says, oh, what's this book? Bhagavatam. Pops it back. It has made great spiritual advancement. So in every way we should see if we can place Bhagavatams everywhere we can, because it's so incredibly important. It was interesting, you know, when we have these sessions, we have like practical chaplaincy work at the hospitals where you actually go around to different people and you minister to them. But then on another day we have a lecture day, and I'm the only non-Christian in this group of people that are studying to be a chaplain. And they refer to the Bible every now and again, you know, they have like a Bible quotation or something. And it's so interesting, their understanding of the Bible, or their disrespect in one sense. They say that they get all their information from the Bible, that this is the Word of God, that this is Jesus' Testament and the Old Testament and so on and so forth. And we also feel, well, the Bible is a sacred thing. And I was so incredibly, it happened a couple of times, to the extent where I virtually had to say something. And I didn't feel I should, but I just couldn't bear it any longer. Whereas they read something out of the Bible, quoting a passage, and they get the Bible and just place it on the floor. You know, like we're sitting on seats, and they just drop it next to the floor. And the day before, a lady was reading something from the Bible, and she put it on the desk, and then proceeded to put her feet on the table next to the Bible. Well, for a devotee, this is just inconceivable, you know. Even though it isn't the Bhagavatam, it is still in essence some spiritual knowledge, some spiritual direction, some word of God, that I just couldn't bear it any longer, you know. And they couldn't see it. It had no meaning for them, as far as, oh, this is offensive to this book of knowledge. I just chuck it down like any other book. In the end, I had to say, look, I'm sorry, I hope you don't think I'm a fanatic, but I really respect the Bible as being a sacred book, and in our tradition, in the Vedic tradition, we honour these books. And to put something on the floor where our feet have been and there's all dirt and stuff is not the right thing. Would you mind very much, for my sake, that we put them up in the bookshelf again? Because I was just disturbed by the whole afternoon. I'm sitting there looking at the book. The book is on the floor. It's not right. The book is on the floor. And it was really getting on, you know, to the end where I had to say, look, I just can't handle it anymore. Lift the bloody book off the floor, please, you know. So anyway, it was really interesting. So the Bhagavatam, and this is the power of the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam has the power to free us from our material consciousness. It can actually liberate us from our material consciousness, because it is literary incarnation in this Kali Yuga, that we actually are free from our karma. We're actually free from our karma simply by reading these nectarian pastimes. How fulfilling, you know, reading the pastimes of Lord Krishna and his great devotees. Just by giving some direction to it, we are free from our karma. We're making such advancement. So Lord Chaitanya declares that this is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history of the great devotees. So is the sound representation spotless. There's not a mark on it. It is absolutely perfect. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutras of Vyas. Sri Vyas Muni demonstrated the true connectedness between all the Vedas, the Upanishads, and is the earliest form of revelation in man's history. So these Bhagavatams are the oldest known works of theology. Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam in his mature life after Narad Muni said, you're just not doing a good enough job here, Vyas, I want you to try again. It had to be permeated with love. So it's the final word on the Upanishadic revelations. And the Gaudiyas, the devotees, consider the Srimad Bhagavatam to be a veritable New Testament. So we had the Vedas, we had the Upanishads, but the Bhagavatam was like the definitive final statement, what we have to do with our lives, and that is surrender it, know about God and serve and love God. So there is the book Bhagavatam and there is the person Bhagavatam, as we've mentioned, who are personified personified ecstasy of the Bhagavatam. Now, the Bhagavatam, and this is something that I wanted to mention, the Bhagavatam is also taught in all different organizations and religious, Hindu religious groups. You have the Shaivites will read the Bhagavatam. You have other Vaishnavas will read the Bhagavatam. And they sometimes may get different interpretations on what the actual stories of the Bhagavatam are. Now, some of these people come to our temple. Some of them may be sitting in this room right here that are from another sampradaya who have read the Bhagavatam in a different way. Some have an understanding that perhaps maybe Vishnu is the supreme and not Krishna. There are different Vaishnava sampradayas who see that Vishnu is the supreme and Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. So you have these different things. But we have to understand that there is the Bhagavatam, and there is the book Bhagavatam, and there is the person Bhagavatam. To this society, to the Hare Krishna society, to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, is the person Bhagavatam. And so what he says is what we follow in this temple. So it's not up to speculation of different people, well, you think Vishnu is and we think Krishna is. No. If we work and we associate in this temple, we have to understand that the Bhagavatam, as explained by Srila Prabhupada, is the way that we follow. No other way. It doesn't matter whether there's another sampradaya that thinks differently, or the Shaivites think this, and they say, oh yes, the Bhagavatam says that. We say, yes, there is the book Bhagavatam, and you can interpret it any way you like. And there is the person Bhagavatam, and that is Srila Prabhupada. He is our authority. And from him we have the disciplic succession of the great teachers and disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are 100% teaching in his same line. Prabhupada for the next 10,000 years will be the founder Acharya of ISKCON, will be his books, will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So there's no deviation from that. He is the person Bhagavatam, this is the Bhagavatam, he is our connection. So sometimes we may have devotees that come here and they would like to render some service. But their idea of Bhagavatam and the conclusions of Bhagavatam differ from us. We have to be gentle with those people and we have to encourage those people to keep doing service. But in the same token, we also have to teach those people and encourage those people to read Prabhupada's books and get the essence of what the real Bhagavatam is. And if they find a difficulty with that, then we really have to say, well, thank you very much and just do as much as you can, but please keep your opinions to yourself. Sometimes we have the situation where some people are saying, well, you know, you think that Krishna is God and is the Supreme God and we think Vishnu is and we think Shiva is. We are not a Hindu organization where we allow anything and everything to be believed. We are ISKCON and we have a set rules and regulations as to what we believe. And we encourage everybody to read Prabhupada's books and compare with what you've learnt in the past and see how it meets with you. And that way you can draw another conclusion instead of the one that you've held from your early childhood. We're always very compassionate, but in the same token we also have to be very mindful that Prabhupada wanted this philosophy to be presented spotlessly. Just as the Bhagavad Purana is spotless in our presentation of the Bhagavatam, we also have to be spotless. So this is sometimes something happens like that here. So here we see that Srila Prabhupada is actually a person of Bhagavatam. And he brings to life the message of Godhead. And there was one verse that I would like to read as far as the Bhagavatam is concerned. This is from the Bhagavatam. It's Canto 1, text 10, chapter 10, number 11, verse 11. Is satsangan mukta dusango hatum not ashva buddhaha kritya mana yaso yasa sakrit akranya rolanam. And the translation is, a person who is actually intelligent, is able by association of the pure devotee to hear about Lord Krishna and his activities. These activities are so attractive that when one hears them, he does not give up his association with the Lord. So this is the key to it. A person who's actually intelligent. It takes some intelligence to actually understand this Bhagavatam. We have to surrender our intelligence and read the Bhagavatam. Hear about the Lord's pastimes and activities. And these activities are so attractive that when we hear them, he does not give up his association. So we want ever more to be associating with the Lord. Srila Prabhupada set this program up that we have to chant Hare Krishna, but in the same token we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. This is implicit in our sadhana. Chanting 16 rounds is not enough. We similarly have to hear the pastimes of the Lord through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Both have to be there. If one is missing, then we lose the connection in our chanting. And if we're not chanting, then we lose the connection with the reading that we're doing. Both are like that. There's a balance. It's like a scale. We have to read the Bhagavatam and we have to chant our rounds. And by chanting our rounds diligently and nicely, then we will also be able to perceive ever new directions within the Bhagavatam. This is very, very important. So I'd like to finish up with a prayer by Sanatana Goswami praising the Srimad Bhagavatam. I came across this when I was just doing a bit of research on it. And the prayer goes, and this is also called the glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Sanatana Goswami. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewel of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. So this Bhagavatam is for all the people of the world. O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun that has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, my companion, my teacher, my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and in my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Anybody heard such a beautiful prayer before? This is just so beautiful. O nectar churned from the ocean of the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit, grant the vision for all people of the world, O breath of life for a Vaishnava. This is our life. This is our life. The Bhagavatam is our life. You are the sun that's risen to dispel the darkness of the Kali Yuga. This Kali Yuga is so ingrained with ignorance. This is the torchlight to be able to see us clear in this Satya Yuga that is dawning for all of us. And you can see it happening. When you have people like this minister who, you know, the lights went on for her, that there was more to God. People just sort of cut off. Yes, I'm serving God, I'm praying to God. But there's more. Find out who God is, that He is a person, He loves you. And so, you know, she was keen to find out. So there is out there thousands, millions of people that are wanting to experience Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are now the agents of the person Bhagavatam to dispel this knowledge, to spread this knowledge throughout all corners of this earth during this Kali Yuga. It is the breath of life for the devotees. There is a higher taste. It's not halva, it's not shrikan. The higher taste is presenting this Bhagavatam to people that we come in contact with. Poor, lost souls. Suffering souls. It's interesting, you know, when you do this chaplaincy work, that the people that you meet finally have an inclination to think about God. You know, in the Kali Yuga, it's all business and entertainment and how can I do things, but when they end up in hospital and there's an illness and they're about to die, then they start thinking, maybe I should think about God. And it's really interesting. The doctors don't feel it's necessary. The doctors actually feel that the chaplains are a bit of a nuisance at times. For some of my colleagues, you know, they go into the different wards and the doctors say, oh, who are you? Oh, I'm with pastoral care and I'm the chaplain. Oh, yeah, okay, come on. Because they're not dying. They're in their whole business world and they're studying. But this person that's in the bed there, oh, I'm the chaplain. You should have seen this Indian lady. This was so nice. I was assigned first off to do the psych ward. Has anybody ever been in a psych ward of a hospital? Now that's an interesting place. That's the personification of Kali Yuga. People are very much in a dark state there. So anyway, I also asked, can I possibly do the chaplaincy work for the Hindu community? So there's a sheet that you get. Hey, Haribol. There's a sheet that you get every day and it lists a person's religion. So you go through and you pick out the Hindus. Oh yeah, there's a Hindu there. I'll go and see her. Oh, Mrs. such and such. Mrs. Sharma, just for a name. So I went and saw her. I rocked up there and the lady said, oh, you know, because I'm not dressed as a devotee. I'm dressed with a white shirt and just a pair of pants. And I said, hi, how are you? I'm the from pastoral care here. And she said, oh, yes. And I said, I'm the chaplain for the Hindu community. Oh, really? Because this just hasn't ever been a chaplain for the Hindu community. So I said to her, yes, I'm with the Hare Krishna movement. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Yeah. I come here all the time. Thank you so much for coming. She burst out crying. So overwhelmed that a devotee would come and see her. So I said, I'll look after you. I'll read some scripture. I'm on a pager. If you need me, just call me. And she said, can you do me a favor? Could you bring me one flower from the altar? And can you bring me some halva? Some maha prasadam. So I said, of course I can, yeah, no problem. So the next day I was there, I had a little plate and I got a couple of garlands and Bhakti got a couple of pictures of the deities. And again, the water works. She was crying. And she said, could you bless me? You know, and on behalf of Prabhupada, you have to bless the person and help her and pray with her. It is such a fulfilling occupation. And this is what we are going to be doing. It's our life breath. Preaching is our life's breath. Any time we get an opportunity to present the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is our soulless. It is our energy. It is our everything. You know, and the more we read the Bhagavatam, the longer we associate with the Bhagavatam, the more we want to do this. We want to give this to as many people as possible. This is what Prabhupada... You can see how Prabhupada, even at the age of 70, on the order of his spiritual master, was so enthusiastic to come and give this knowledge to the Western world. He is the greatest philanthropist, as was pointed out in the Bhagavatam, in the verse that I read. He was so enthused to come and give this liberating knowledge to everyone. And this is now our legacy. This is the family business. You know, Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya. He is the personification of Bhagavatam. And he has directed all of us to likewise preach this glory. So, it is the shining light and dispels the darkness. It's Krishna returning amongst us. Sometimes we think that Krishna is gone. I wish we were around 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya was here. But Krishna is right here, as it says. Sanatana Goswami actually said, you are actually Lord Krishna who has returned amongst us. You know, sometimes at night time before you go to bed, if you read Krishna book and you read about the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna is right there. He's right there. It's so, you feel such a close connection. And the more you do it, the more you actually feel it. You know, that Krishna is amongst us once again. By reading, one attains transcendental bliss, as I've mentioned before. And your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. It's pure love of God. You're always served by everyone and you are an incarnation. So, the Bhagavatam, this book, these books are our friend, our only friend, our companion at the time of death. Make sure you have plenty of the Bhagavatams around you. They're our teacher. They're our great wealth. You know, sometimes we say, well, how much is this full set? I mean, how can you put a price on what each one of us have learnt from these books? You know, if you remember back the ignorance that we were steeped in, and Prabhupada, by his mercy, gave us this literature and just dispelled the ignorance. And how much wealth do you put to that? How much, what price can you put on that? You can't. It's priceless. You know, even if you won $30 million at the tax lotto, it's you couldn't buy this knowledge. You know, it is by the mercy of the Lord and also his pure devotee. O my deliverer, my good fortune, my bliss, the giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. All of us come, and I speak personally, we come from such a debauched background, and by the mercy of the Bhagavatam, we're able to transcend that and actually become saintly to a small degree. It's just a wonderful thing. O uplifter of the fallen, lifting us out of this mire of ignorance. When you see people suffering, like in this psych ward, these people are possessed by lower living entities, confused, depressed, anxious, so many different mental diseases. They are just so incredibly fallen. And just to have, for us, it was only a matter of chance that we may not have ended up in that sort of a situation. And so the Bhagavatam is the uplifter of the very fallen. He can help all of us. Don't ever leave me. This should be our prayer every day. That we don't ever leave Krishna consciousness. We don't ever, ever want to leave this security of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our safety. This is our safety net. We are here, you know, under the protection of Srila Prabhupada. Out there, Maya is again going to stick her claws in. And it's not that we're doing a whole big threat thing that, you know, it's all rotten out there and it's nice in here, but the transcendental enjoyment that one gets by serving Bhagavatam and reading the Bhagavatam and serving the devotees, this is really the nectar. So Srila Prabhupada is our guiding light, and his representatives give us direction as well. Prabhupada is there throughout the Bhagavatam and his purports giving us direction, and his senior devotees are giving us guidance to be our gurus and our spiritual guides to serve Srila Prabhupada. The temple management in the same way is encouraging us to follow a direction to do our service. Prabhupada's not telling us directly. Our guru may not even be telling us directly, but some temple authority may be telling us to do a particular thing, and this is the way we'd like it to do. See that authority is coming from Bhagavatam, the person Bhagavatam. If it is the right authority, if it's given correctly, in the right mood, in the right direction, then as a humble devotee we should actually take that on board and say, okay, this is Prabhupada speaking to me, this is the Bhagavatam speaking to me, let me act on that, and then you'll be safe, you'll be secure. So please become manifest in my heart and in my throat reading the Bhagavatam and accompanied by pure love for Krishna. So this Bhagavatam, as we're nearing the end of the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a good time to meditate on what a great thing we have in the Bhagavatam and what a great meditation we can render by reading the Bhagavatam every single day. Are there any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
Where is the quotation which you get from Sanatana Goswami? Where is it mentioned in the scripture?
It says by Srila Sanatana Goswami's Krishna Lila Stava. I can give you a printout of it. There's a whole Sanskrit to it. It's such a wonderful prayer. Shall I read it one more time? Yeah. Because when I read it, I'll read it again. So it goes. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. O Lord, you are the sun that has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love for Krishna. Vyantara Srimad Bhagavatam. Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Oh, sorry, Prabhu.